This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. One of the places we haven't had much of a chance to check in with, but has still been somewhat busy despite being closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, is the Orpheum Theater. And we'll talk about that and a way that you can make a financial contribution to the theater, which would very much help them out, with Aaron Glasnovich, the executive director of the Orpheum, who is on the line tonight. Aaron, thanks so much as always.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Very glad to have you. Over the last 6 or 7 weeks, I've talked to a lot of people who have been relatively new to their jobs, who have had to deal with this pandemic in one way or the other, and how it affects their operations. And unfortunately, while I know you've been with the Orpheum for a while, you're new to the executive director role. So how have you dealt with this? This is, as I said to somebody else, I can't imagine that there's any amount of on-the-job training that would prepare you for something like this.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's funny because just as I was kind of feeling like I was, you know, getting my feet under me and getting comfortable in the position, you know, the tables kind of turned and the rug was pulled out from under me. And indeed for, you know, everybody, I know all of these small businesses, and I mean, just everyone in general, is having to deal with this shift that really nobody could have prepared for fully, I don't think. So we're just kind of trying to take it as it comes and try and look at it as positively as we can, spin it in a way where we can look at it as an opportunity to improve on some things, and to maybe amp up our social media presence and put some more content online, so that once things do calm down and we can start, you know, phasing into, you know, inviting people back through our doors, that maybe we'll even have some new patrons and followers.
Yeah, that's would definitely be a good thing. In terms of having to cancel events, I can't imagine what that's like, and having to go through and I guess re-deal with all those entities you dealt with the first time in having to book some of these shows. I imagine that's probably why some of those contracts probably have act of God clauses, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's funny. We've dealt with so many cancellations and refunds, and before this all happened, I don't think I dealt with a single show cancellation or refund to this magnitude anyway. So it's been a definite learning curve, and most of the things that are being rescheduled or postponed or canceled are tenants events, you know, like the symphony and, mm-hmm. you know, a couple other renters that we work with a lot. So they've been really great to work with, and everybody seems to, you know, understand the circumstances and are making good decisions. So we're right along with them, and it has definitely been difficult, and it's been hard not seeing people, because, you know, that's what we love to do. We love to bring people in and to host wonderful things for everybody to enjoy. But we just keep holding out hope that we'll get there again, and I know we will.
How far out have events been canceled at this point?
Well, I think that, you know, the Elvis show that was supposed to be in March, it's so difficult because, you know, you move one thing and then you have to bump another thing, or, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So we ended up having to move it to next March, so March of 2021, for that particular show. But a lot of the other things, you know, well, all that we can do is kind of just wait it out and see how things roll, and you know, when certain events get closer, coming into the summer, then, you know, we'll work with the renters and see what we can still be able to present. But at this point, we do have a show that's at the end of June on the books, so we're hoping that by that time we'll have a good and safe way to come back together in one way or another.
Yeah, you may not be familiar with this yet, but as prior to us talking this afternoon, the governor kind of talked about this plan to sort of reopen back up Illinois, and mm-hmm. at least he's looking at the third phase of the plan, perhaps as early as the end of the month, which kind of expands the number of gatherings where you can only have 10 or more people.
Right.
And then under another phase, that expands to 50 or more. So mm-hmm. I imagine it's a lot of wait and see for you right now at this point as to whether or not you can even have some of those events in June, right?
Right, yeah. It's kind of just, you know, taking it stepping stones instead of down, you know, a big long and winding path at this point. So we just kind of try and get, you know, like a lot of businesses, try and get the good information as it comes in, and just kind of do what we can from there, and work with our tenants and everybody in the community has been really supportive of the theater, and always, I mean, the Orpheum has sustained for more than 100 years for a reason, and it's because of the community involvement and the support and the passion behind the people that live and support this community. So we're lucky in that sense.
For sure. That's all a very good thing. Talk to me about some of the ways you've been kind of trying to keep the theater out there. You mentioned social media, and that's kind of one of the reasons I had thought about calling you, was because of the sort of silent film type of thing you've been doing lately.
Yeah. So we're trying to be as creative as we can. We have a really awesome small staff here of all creative individuals, and we've been trying to come up with cool ideas to still engage people when they can't visit us in person. So one of those things was the Silent Sundays that I've put together. It's kind of just like a little movie club, and I'm a big fan of silent films myself.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty easy way for me to be able to contribute and to share something with everybody. And you know, all we do is we share movie stills from a film that we've chosen to show on a Sunday, or chosen to share on a Sunday. We share a YouTube link, so that people can watch it on Sunday with us, and kind of just builds the anticipation over the week to watch a silent film. And it's a really nice way to just kind of take a breather and sit back quietly and relax and enjoy something that, you know, normally we would love to be able to show at the Orpheum, but like I said before, we'll get there one day.
What have you quote-unquote shown so far?
The first one, we just had our first one, and it was called Battling Butler.
Yeah.
It's a silent from 1926 starring Buster Keaton, and it's a great one to start with. It's heartwarming, and it's funny, and I highly recommend, if anybody hasn't watched it yet, go check us out on Facebook. We have a link there, and then we've been posting pictures for the next pick that we have for this coming Sunday, and we'll announce all the picks every Sunday.
That's fantastic. I love that. One of the other ways that I think is probably one of the more obvious ways that you've been spreading the love, if you will, to the public is that marquee sign.
Yeah, we love coming up with lyrics to put on the marquee. So far we started with I think it was it Put on a Happy Face and from Bye Bye Birdie. So we started with that, and then between all of us here at the theater, we keep coming up with kind of inspiring and positive messages that we pull from lyrics from favorite musicals. So it's a lot of fun to be able to do that. And, you know, the marquee is one thing that a lot of people we know see it and drive by it, and it's nice just to be able to contribute to, you know, hopefully making somebody's day better during a time like this especially.
Before I ask you about some of the fundraising that you've just started doing as of today, I'm curious. I know that you sing and you've performed in theater and in other venues over the years. How hard is it for you to just kind of either stay home or stay at work during all of this? You've been an awfully pretty busy person, regardless of this.
It's a drastic change, and it's extremely difficult, and it's for people that are really used to that in-person live connection, like me and a lot of other performers. You know, it's such an adjustment, and it's this learning curve of figuring out how to express or to be able to present events or any kind of thing that we're normally really well versed in doing here in person on the stage, or, you know, out at our other local venues and stuff like that. You know, it's a real learning curve to have to really go ahead and jump, you know, head first into the videos and the social media aspect and all of that, to really kind of still have that outlet and still make a connection with people. So I've been trying to continue to sing and practice my guitar at home and trying to write songs. But, you know, there are some other things that luckily that my colleagues and I are working on putting together that are of creative nature too. So we'll be putting out some cool videos that have been a nice outlet for all of us as well.
I was going to say, how many times have you written the new hit song, I Just Want to Leave My House?
That's a good title.
Thank you. That's why I'm here. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as much as this is obviously a concern for the Orpheum, and perhaps, but, you know, the loss in revenue probably can't be fully determined at this point, I also feel for the smaller venues like the Prairie Players and some of the other local theater groups in town, this could almost be a sucker punch.
Yeah, it's I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, this is what we do. What we do is gather. What we do is try and make an impression on someone when we're in the room, and it's about coming together. So when that's the exact opposite of what you should be doing, you know, it really is a hit. So, and it's, you know, for all the great work that is being done, you know, on the front lines and the healthcare workers and the grocery store workers and all of those folks that are really supporting us as a society and keeping us going, I mean, I know how much myself and everyone is appreciative of that, and we don't want to kind of recede into the background when it comes to the arts, because we still want to be here. You know, organizations like the Arts Center, like Prairie Players, like the Orpheum, and there's so many others I could mention, you know, really deserve to be remembered and just, you know, to check in with us so that you remember how much fun it is to be able to participate in the arts, and we want to be able to be here when it's all, you know, turning the other way. So, yeah, it's been very difficult, but that one thing, you know, that is I have found in common with so many arts organizations and presenting organizations is that they adapt and they are resilient. So I'm confident that as an arts community and the Orpheum itself, that we'll come on the other side of this.
All right, let's talk about how folks can continue to help the Orpheum even in this time. I think this day has been kind of turned into a second sort of a Giving Tuesday for the year. I think it's called Giving Tuesday Now or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Kind of popped up, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of did. But I like that, and you've kind of taken advantage of that in a way.
Yeah, it was very fortuitous for us because we had been planning on announcing a fund drive campaign for the past couple weeks, and we put together a video, and it's called Give Us a Hand, and our hope is that, you know, even with very small contributions, whatever anybody can do to lend a hand to, as we put it, to the applause and make the applause grow, if they could contribute $5, $10, $20, whatever they can to our Give Us a Hand fund drive, that it'll really add up and it'll really help us with our operating costs. So that, like I said before, we're still here and we're able to continue to offer content and be ready to open up once again soon.
That's wonderful. And how can folks contribute?
They can go to our website, GelsbergOrpheum.org/support, and it'll take you straight to the site about Give Us a Hand. Also, following us on any of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube. We've been adding a lot to our YouTube channel, so just be sure, if you're going to just Google us, look for Galesburg Orpheum, and you will find us there.
Wonderful. All right, before I wrap out of before I run out of time, Aaron, the one thing I did want to mention, too, that was another reason that I had been thinking about the Orpheum is that, gosh, from what I can tell from social media, the Orpheum's never been cleaner.
Absolutely. That is the first thing we did in mid-March when we had to close our doors is we put together a deep cleaning list, and we got to work with the elbow grease, and we cleaned and sanitized every single seat in the house. So that's 922 seats.
Wow.
It was quite an undertaking, but we are happy to do it. We know how necessary it is, and it's good to know that the theater is clean and sparkling and ready for when we can invite people back.
Has the new carpet smell I once smelled in the theater been replaced with the smell of Lysol?
It might be a little bit of a lemony scent.
Actually. Oh, I like the lemony scent much better. That's yes. Much nicer. All right, Aaron Glasnovich, Executive Director of the Orpheum Theater here in Galesburg. Thanks so much for your time. Good luck trying to get through this still, and thanks for all you're continuing to do for the community.
And thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And we'll link to the Orpheum Theater's website when we post this conversation momentarily at WGIL.com. Coming up at 5:40, we'll hear the Knox County Unified Command briefing for this day that was put out on social media earlier. We'll have that at 5:40, but we'll come back with business news next on Galesburg's Evening News.